Hi diddly ho there, listenerinos. This is the Jock and Nerd, episode 95. Thanks for joining us. We got your weeks full of geek news and comic book TV reviews on this edition of the Jock and Nerd Weekly for Friday, April 22nd, 2016.
It's the Jock and Nerd Podcast with your hosts, Anthony and Imran.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for joining us. This is the Jock and Nerd Podcast. My name is Imran.
And my name is Anthony.
He's the jock?
Well, not really.
No. And I'm the nerd, and this is the Jock and Nerd Podcast. But yet again, we have an absent jock for the second week in the row. That's the Rug Boy. What's up, Rugs? Thanks for stopping by.
Does he have jock itch this time, or does he have strep penis?
Well,
what does he have?
Look,
athlete's penis? What does he got?
Look, last week, the jock had the strep. Supposedly the strep. I was suspicious. This week, I want to play a little game, Rugs. Let's play Guess Where the Jock Is, because it's hilarious. Guess where Anthony is. We're live on Blab, and Tony in the chat, another Tony, already has a great answer. Rugs, what's your guess? Give me a guess.
I'm thinking that he went to some kind of a dance shirtless place where he could dance with his tits out.
So you're kind of close. Listermate in the chat says Anthony got so sick last week that he went to the emergency room and hooked up with a hot nurse, and now he's on his honeymoon. That's
geek boner.
That's not a bad one. Not correct. Cosmo Fox says Zika virus? Question mark. That's
no. That's Anthony Zika.
Anthony. Jordan on the pie says he's getting laid. Well, I don't know about right now, but it's possible because right now the jock is at a Justin Bieber concert.
Oh, shit.
Figure that one out, guys. Look, he got free tickets in his defense. He's at a Justin Bieber concert. Rug Boy, comment?
I have nothing to say. I really don't know what to say to that. A grown man in his almost 30s is going to, I mean, look, I understand.
Listen,
you go where all the chicks are.
Right.
All right?
Look, think about, yes.
If you're a shark, you go where the fish are at. Okay. You got to go hunting in a place full of chicks.
If Anthony's listening to this, you had Rug Boy speechless. I thought the screen was frozen, but Rug Boy was actually speechless with that
lame
news of, I hope he's having a good time. But look, who goes to a Justin Bieber concert?
He shouldn't be allowed back on the show.
No? I think I should have been focused.
I mean, look, okay, this is the thing. He's got to come back. If he listens to this, listen, dude, I want to see pictures of girls' boobs on your phone, like exposed boobs. Like, you have to make it. You have to somehow make it not, like, weird that you're there. Like, I want to see that you went there to hunt.
I'll have to text him that right now, because I don't know when he's going to hear this. But I agree. Make it worthwhile. Bring us back something we can talk about. Now, look, thanks for everyone, regular listeners, checking us out. Everyone in the Blab checking us out. If you're new to the show, this is what's going to go down. We're going to go over the week's geek news, and we're going to review this week's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Supergirl, The Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, and Fear the Walking Dead. Rugs, did you watch that last one this week?
What, Fear the Walking Dead?
Yeah.
I told you I wasn't going to watch it, so I'm not watching it.
I knew it. I fear the non-watching Rug Boy. All right, we'll deal with that.
Was it good?
Look, stuff happened. When we get to it, lots of stuff happened. And we're live on Blab. We do this every week, which means I will be reading your guys' comments. You guys can interact with us, drop us questions, funny lines, make us laugh. It's almost distracting while trying to do a show, but I'm going to do my best. And that means, listener, you can always check us out and interact with us live. Just visit jockandnerd.com/live. All you need is a Twitter account. You can check out our replays and see when the next show is. It's lots of fun, and you get to see the Rug Boy.
Yes, that's what you need to do. If you want to see me in all of my glory, all of the opposite of Justin Bieber-like glory, you tune in.
Rugs, our Twitter friend David Mobile's here. Say hi.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, what's up, D? Look, before we get to any of that, we have to pay our respects to a huge musical genius that we lost. So first of all, 2016 has been a shitty year for if you're famous, because they've been dropping like flies.
Yeah.
And the man, the myth, the Purple Man himself, the original Purple Man, Prince Rogers Nelson, passed away earlier this week at 57. And dude, this one was really big for me. I mean, I feel like everyone has Prince stories. Ruggs, what's your connection to Prince? Are you a Prince fan?
Well, let me ask you this, and you can answer it honestly, Imran. Yes. Don't lie.
I will.
Okay?
I'm going to try to do. Okay, go.
When's the most recent time that you've actually followed Prince?
I saw him a couple of years ago. I saw him a couple of years ago. When he came to Rosemont at Allstate Arena. But even then, that was like maybe over seven years ago. The man was still making records. Now, do you think he was just not relevant anymore? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, I don't think that he was irrelevant. Yeah. I think that what happened to him – see, I happen to love Prince.
Yes.
Now, I don't know a lot of Prince songs, actually.
Right?
I just – every time I've ever seen him, I've been impressed by him. But I feel like that – like other than the hits, I feel like his music's not that accessible to me in some ways. Okay?
Yeah.
Just listening wise, but then physically inaccessible because he took his music off everything.
Well, that was kind of the strange thing is if you try to Google or YouTube search for Prince music, you can't find it. People, he fought with Warner Brothers. He was really into control of his music and he pulled it down from everywhere. It's actually on Tidal right now. This could be a big boon for Tidal.
Yeah.
And you can also buy it on iTunes. Yeah.
But, like, that's the thing. Like, I listen to Pandora, I listen to Spotify and all that shit, and I have all these things. And it's just hard to get Prince to come across your dial sometimes. Even on satellite radio, you don't get a lot of Prince, like, played a lot. I was listening to the 80s on Sirius,
yeah,
and they just out of nowhere started playing Prince because he died.
Well, Channel 50 now on the Sirius is, like, all Prince all the time. Look, you gotta go find the music. That what you said, the hits are great. He has a great 3-CD collection called The Hits. It's 2 CDs of hits and 1 CD is all like B-sides and rare cuts. It's really good. But there's a lot of ways to find cool Prince stuff. The man, first of all, the man blurred the lines between musical genres. The man blurred the line between gender. The man blurred the line with sexuality. How much sex was had while listening to Prince? How many people got laid listening to Prince? That alone is amazing. I mean, that's his
he's got baby making music.
There's so many Prince babies out there. David Moby says, what are CDs again? Look, find it on
CDs
iTunes.
Nuts!
But look, I want to share a couple of my favorite Prince things. One is the combination of Jack Nicholson's Joker and Prince in Batman, the 1989 soundtrack, was awesome. It was just perfect. That soundtrack means a lot to me because like that was the summer Batman came out. I had went to Leeds for the summer. Like I was living with my cousins. They turned me on to a lot of Prince, like really good stuff. But I think this Batman soundtrack got him a lot of exposure.
Now, let me ask you this, Imran.
Yeah.
Okay. I can name about somewhere in the vicinity of 15 Prince songs.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what do you think is something that's off the beaten path that people should listen to that you think have been overlooked, in your opinion?
The Sign of the Times album is unbelievable. It's really
that's old,
good.
Though, right?
That's really old. I'm talking about old. Yeah, I prefer his old stuff. And this guy was a master of funk, dude. This guy would channel Jimi Hendrix, James Brown, and P-Funk, George Clinton, all at once, and just blend genres. Let me tell you what I got here. This is really cool. There's a great internet radio show called We Funk out of Montreal. They do classic funk, hip hop. It's streaming radio. They have a show, and this has been out for a while. It's show number 527. I'll put a link in the show notes, jockandnerd.com/95. Click on the show. It's 2 hours of deep cuts of funk Prince, really good funky Prince that you have not heard. And in between, there's a guy who knows Prince, who's worked with him, and he gives you little bits and pieces about his career. And it's a retrospective that goes in chronological order. You hear the music, you learn about him. We Funk is an awesome radio station. I listened to that whole 2 hour show that day. I found it. It's really good. And that's where you're going to find the gems. And that's where it's also going to point you to places to find other stuff that you may not have known about.
Cool.
Yeah. Definitely pick that up. If you're into internet radio, the Jock and Nerd podcast is on geeklife.radio.com every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Central live. So check that out.
That's awesome. We're on like a radio network.
Yeah, it's all that one is all geek radio. They talk about everything from movies, TVs to pro wrestling. It's a technology.
Do you think we're going to pick up new fans?
I think, hey, if you're listening to us right now on Geek Life Radio,
Jockin' Nerd,
you get one of these.
Geek Boner.
And one of these. Let us know. Tweet us at Jockin' Nerdcast if you found us on Geek Life Radio. But it's great. You can leave the stream running. But if you want, like, awesome funk and hip-hop, definitely check out We Funk. One last bit that I thought was funny, considering the fact that the jock is at a Justin Bieber concert. Bieber's a little bitch, a little bit. I'm just going to say that right now. There was somebody tweeted, Andrew 50 Watt tweeted a whole thing when Prince died, saying he was devastated, the last of the greatest living performers, my guitar idol. So that if you scroll through the comments of that post, there's a reply in there from Justin Bieber, and all it says is, well, not the last greatest living performer.
Oh, shit.
What do you think he's implying there? I think he's a little salty.
He's talking about Beyonce.
I don't think he's talking about Beyonce. Why would you? That's not the way to handle that, dude. I think Jordan says, I hope he's not talking about himself. I think he was talking about himself.
Fuck Justin Bieber. it's going to be hard for me to be like, hey, man, like Anthony, you like shirked your responsibilities as a podcaster.
He did
extraordinaire.
Look, he got free tickets, so it's not like he paid for it, but still.
Dude, I wouldn't go. I don't care if someone paid me to go. You couldn't pay me to go see Justin Bieber.
You couldn't.
The only one you could pay me with is like I was guaranteed to get laid by like 15 girls. Then I would go.
You know what? Next show, you can challenge Anthony. He claims Bieber is talented. And, you know, like, if we didn't have Prince, Bieber would never had a chance to fucking make it halfway. You know, if you guys like Lady Gaga and Usher and Prince, I mean, and Bieber, you have Prince to thank, really.
All right, kids at home, let's play a game. Let's play, how will Anthony play this off? All right? Now, if you think he's going to come in and own it and be like, ah, yeah, I saw Justin Bieber and I'm proud and I like it. All right. That's choice A.
Okay.
Okay. Choice B is that he's completely embarrassed that he went to Justin Bieber and he's like, okay, give it to me up the ass, guys. I deserve it.
Okay.
Dick, but I was free and I got to go.
Okay.
Whatever. So what do you think? Is it going to be choice A, B, or you have another choice? You have a C choice in Ron. You know Anthony a little better than me.
No, I think those two are good. I'm going to go choice B. Tweet us your answer at Jock and Nerdcast. Which way do you think Anthony's
going to
go?
I feel like Anthony's going to dig his heels in and tell us that we're dicks for not going to Justin Bieber. That's like a typical jock thing to do.
Is he going to own it or not?
A jock never apologizes. A jock never says he was wrong. It's weird to dicks. We obviously don't know what's going on because we're nerds.
Boy. I can't wait to see him talk his way out of that one. But, Ruggs, here's the thing. We got something we need to talk our way out of a little bit. And it relates to our last episode. I need to clarify some comments. Do you remember at all when we were busting balls a little bit?
Bilotti balls?
Yeah, we were busting our balls about our buddy Bilotti. We were busting balls about our buddy Bilotti. And maybe it got out of control. Maybe I misspoke. I want to make the case here. I didn't want it to seem like I called John Bilotti a fanboy in the derogatory sense of the term of the word, because he is not. He's a
fanboyitis, you said.
I may have said fanboyitis. I was trying to make a point, and John Bilotti got all mixed in. You know how the thing is when you're busting your buddy's balls, and then like maybe it like goes over the line and you take it too far. You're like, you know what? You're right.
That never happens to me.
No, it never happens to you, Ruggs.
I never go too far.
I gotcha. Well, as humans, sometimes that we are susceptible to that. So I just want to make it clear. Look, Bilotti is a fan of Godzilla, and he's a brilliant artist and illustrator. Check out his work at robo7.com. If you like Godzilla at all, you're going to love his artwork. But the point I was trying to make, first of all, I think we need to take this word fanboy back. Like, was it always derogatory? Wasn't it a good thing at some point?
Well, I think in the case of John Bilotti, all right, this guy's a very respectable guy.
Yes.
He's a good man.
Absolutely.
He's a nice man.
He was on our Batman. Everyone heard the Batman versus Superman review. That was Bilotti. He's awesome.
Okay, but
I love John Bilotti.
There are certain things that you need to know about John. And one of those things is he has a big respect for the Japanese craftsmanship. He loves the because he builds sets himself.
Yeah, yeah, he's a scenic painter.
He's got a big respect for that. So I think that plays a part, and it plays a part in how he sees these Japanese movies. So just that's it. It's not that he's going to love everything that's automatically Japanese, but there's another aspect of it. He's met a lot of these people.
Yes.
He personally knows them. So I think he knows a different perspective than assholes like me.
Yeah. Yeah. Or me. Or me. I would look. I was an ass, which is why I bring this up. I was an ass. Plus, Bilotti's in the union. I don't need any hired goons, you know, showing up at my door.
Yeah.
In the middle of the afternoon. But look, my point is this. I think we should take the word fanboy back. I want to run another little Twitter question and answer. I think everyone should get a pass for one thing. Everybody, we all love stuff so much. And I feel like everybody has that one thing that they will give a pass to. So I think, listen, tweet us or put in the comments here, hashtag fanboy pass, and I'll start clearly Spider-Man. I will fanboy pass Spider-Man almost all the time, and I don't care. I'm unapologetic about it. Ruggs, what about you? What do you think about my theory?
That everybody has something?
Like one thing that they're like, I love this no matter what.
I don't know. Hold on a second. All right, so I had the burp. All right. Jocktastic. I had some zesty food today.
All right. It's good. Spices spicy are good for your health.
I had a spicy meatball. Anyway.
It's a spicy meatball.
What was I saying? Everything that I know that sucks, everything I know it sucks. So I don't really I defend it because in a way I know it sucks. I know when things suck.
All right. So you're a fanboy of sucking.
Yeah, like, I know things, so I like things, okay, this is the thing. When you have a movie like Batman versus Superman,
yes,
okay, everything is going for it. There is no resource untapped. Like, the studio's behind it, there's money, there's actors thrown at this thing.
Yep.
You have every right to fucking hate something when it doesn't work out from a studio with big money. But when you see, like, a B-movie that's made in another country that has shitty effects, You know it sucks, but you're like, hey, it's not the same. It's not even the same category of kind of movie. But, so you give it a pass.
But sometimes just the act of seeing this thing on a big screen in a moving medium, something you didn't think you would see, you know, it sometimes it's that's enough. Like I own every kind of content Spider-Man is on screen. I have a copy of it, just even when it sucks, from the 60s show to, like, Amazing Spider-Man 2, just because this is Spider-Man, you know, moving and alive, and I want it. So
you're just going to get everything Spider-Man no matter what it is.
Yep.
See, I don't even have that sickness.
It's a sickness. We got it. I love Hello Kitty, Cats Nico says. There you go. Even Spider-Man Homecoming shit, I may buy some of the characters if they look cool. I don't know. Maybe get a poster. But let us know what you think. Hashtag fanboy pass at Jock and Nerdcast. Do you have something you will give a pass to? The last bit, I just got to say real quick, it's kind of a big podcasting news in the industry. If you are on Google Play, if you use Google on your Android, Google is now carrying podcasts. Not only that, Google has the Jock and Nerd podcast.
Friends,
you can listen to the Jock and Nerd podcast on Google Play right now.
Oh, shit.
It's very, very exciting. Just go to jockandnerd.com/Google, and it'll take you right to the page. Right now, I noticed it works really good on your computer and browsers and on Android phones. So, Android listener, this is for you. One less app you may have to switch between. If you're already using Google Play to listen to music, just search Jock and Nerd Podcast. Subscribe. You can listen to us there.
Whoa, that's so cool, man. We're getting on everything.
Jordan of the Pie says she's big into Dragon Ball Z. That's what I'm saying. That's like a thing.
Whoa.
That's a thing. All right, Ruggs, we're going to do the news, and you start first right after this.
The Jock and Nerd Podcast.
What you got, Ruggs?
Well, I don't know if this is a news story or just something to talk about, but I'll let it come out, and you give me the skinny whether you want to keep going.
Okie dokie.
All right. So, have you heard about this ghost in the shell thing?
Yeah.
All right. The whitewashing
more
thing.
More whitewashing. This is what I heard. Well, that one picture came out, Scarlett Johansson, just kind of looking in the mirror at herself, which, I mean, the picture's not exciting.
Yeah.
And then everyone is like, here we go again. They're hiring an American to play a clearly Asian part. And then I heard that they were testing special effects to make The actors look Asian?
Oh, shit.
I was like, well, what is going, what is that? What's going on with this?
I want to comment on this because, look, okay, let me just start out by making a blanket statement so people can just shut the fuck up and start, you know, because I'm going to come at this at a weird angle.
Oh, boy.
That's what Rug Boy does.
That's what Rug Boy does.
Okay. So the answer is yes, Hollywood is whitewashing shit. Yes, Hollywood has to make a bigger effort to put more diverse actors, especially, you know, of the smaller minorities that are in the country, like Asian people and, you know, whatever. Because we have so many minorities in here, it's hard to keep track and get everybody involved. But yes, there should be more diversity. And if in the case of a Ghost in the Shell, it's a manga, it comes from Japan, the character has a Japanese name, whatever. But I just want to put this out there. All right. Now, in the case of actual historical stuff or things that where you know that that person should be Asian,
yeah,
or whatever. Yes, it's a huge mistake not to cast people. Like when the Gods of Egypt came out, it says Egypt in the name. You maybe should have some Egyptian looking people in there. It makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. But now let me just play devil's advocate for a second. All right. Now, you can watch a Japanese animation movie and not know what race anybody is because they're racially ambiguous into the point where anime, the stylization of even their eyes being big and their facial features being small, everybody has the same facial features. There's no like guy with a wide nose. There's no guy with a big lips. And if they are, they're very stereotypical. But in the general population of most anime, they're racially ambiguous. They don't even change shades of people's skin really that much in anime. Now, they're causing their own problem by not being specific in the way they draw their characters. You can't tell if one person's Asian and one's not. In Ghost in the Shell, there's a guy with blonde hair and white hair. How do you know what that guy is?
No, you don't know. You know what? It's a good point.
And Ghost in the Shell is a cyborg. How do you know what it is? I don't know. In the future, is Japan like a melting pot where everybody lives there and it's like New York and there is no gender or racial, you know, specificness there? Because if you watch any anime, they have blonde hair, they have red hair, they have all kinds of different hair. You don't know what that is. So anime is so unspecific when it comes, and they do it to they almost do it to themselves. They whitewash themselves.
They kind of do. I mean, but you're right in the sense that the style of drawing that we know is anime, which the large eyes and the little nose and, you know, the pointy, the chin comes to a point. It is very neutral. It's not even a reflection of the culture that it comes from. It's an ideal.
Akira,
yeah.
They're clearly Asian.
Yeah.
Because they're drawn, like the people who designed that, they wanted it to be specifically Asian.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah.
So you could tell in the difference just between Akira, and if you watch Fist of the North Star or any of these old animes, there's people that don't look in any way Eastern. So I understand the argument that Ghost in the Shell is a Japanese thing and it's an anime, whatever, and her name is even Japanese. But if I was living, if you're living in America and your name is, let's say your name is Anthony Kryzak, how am I going to know that you're Asian? You don't know. It's not specific to your race or whatever, or your racial bent.
I mean, I'm looking at some images from the cartoon and you really can't tell what national, some of these guys look American in this, you know, you can't tell. It's very vague. But it's an idealized, stylized view of human anatomy and to make it expressive.
Well, yeah, and even the proportions, like, you know, like if you're going to be specific about something, you want to be specific, it has to be specific in to the common person looking at it and going, that is an Asian person. You know, if you're going to be that specific about it.
So you're saying the source material is not necessarily leading a person to think that that's what it is.
Because, I'll tell you, this is when I first discovered this. When Street Fighter was going to be made into a live action movie.
Right.
And they cast an Asian person as Ryu. I didn't know that Ryu was Asian.
Right.
In the video game. Because he looked too Western. He looked more like a Jean-Claude Van Damme than Bruce Lee.
I mean, you can make the argument that the anime style, I drew it a lot. I studied it when I was a kid just because I love drawing these expressive faces, but it's like a westernized, it is Western influence, even the style itself.
Yeah, so like, I understand. They are completely right. You can't just cast white people in every freaking race. That's retarded, all right? But when it comes to like anime, there's a gray area there. And that's because of the stylistic thing that they've chosen to make everybody, no matter what, almost have the same exact facial structure. Whether if you're you really don't see that too many black anime characters at all. And if they are, they're very cartoony black, you know, but they're very few and far between. You don't see a lot of skin tones changing. They're all like this pasty white, you know, or pink, you know. And then Appleseed, she has blonde hair like and blue eyes. How does she not – and she has a Japanese name, so
– it's very confusing. You just – like has, in a sense, Scarlet – ScarJo kind of works in that sense because –
Well, I'm not really defending Scarlett Johansson. I think they shouldn't have cast her. I think they should have cast someone. But who are you going to cast? That's the second question.
That's the thing. They need – you know, you're a studio. You need a name to make a movie to get people to come out and see it. I mean, you know, they had her in Lucy – and that was a kind of a
You know how Hollywood works. Yeah. Like, look, we've invented this stupid shit. It's our fault because in the 80s, there was the movie star did not necessarily sell a movie.
Right.
It was about the movie itself. Now you need a star to prop up a movie. That's this whole way of thinking is retarded. But that's what Hollywood is now. They need us a name to because they need to make all this money. They need to spend this money to make all this money. So they need a name they can bet on.
It's always got to be a vehicle for someone. Boo. Yeah. This is a ScarJo vehicle. Let's put it together. Okay. That's a food for thought, Ruggs. I don't know. You threw me with that one, but I've been reading about this, and I haven't heard that point of view about it in all the stuff I've read. So that's interesting.
Yeah, I know. People are going to call me some kind of an idiot or whatever.
Send your hate mail to @reallyrugboy on Twitter.
All I'm saying is that if you're a person who draws, and you do, Imran,
yes,
you can draw something to look like whatever you want. I can draw someone to look Pakistani if I want.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I can make you look like Imran if I wanted to, just like you.
But no, I get it. You just you kind of blew my mind on that one, because now that I think about it, they're just a generalized, idealized, stylized. But I love the style. Everyone loves the style. But what does that look like in real life?
How are you going to get up in arms about it if they did it in the first place, you know?
There you go. Yeah. All right. That's good. Moving on to some other stuff. Rug, somebody counted all the lines Superman has in Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice.
Okay. Can we do an over and under?
Let's do an over and under. Listen, let me set this up. One of the title characters in this huge movie. How many lines do you think a title character should have? Somebody counted them all. What do you guys think?
Give like at least 30, 40 lines.
You're very close. 42 lines.
Oh, shit.
Okay.
One of the title characters in a long-ass 2.5-hour movie, he's got 42 lines. Which, you know what? If you get a good writer and a good storytelling director, you can make a whole Superman movie without any dialogue. It can be done. In fact, I'd rather have that than him give 42 very plotting lines. Also, did you see this bit about Robin's weapon? We see, you know, in the movie, you see a shot of Robin's suit, and he's holding like a big sword with a – you barely see the end of it. It's a
– You think it's going to – you think that it's his bow staff.
You think it's a staff, a bow staff, commonly used, like Leonardo from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Or Tim Drake.
Or Tim Drake in the Batman comic books. But according to this Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice tech manual – this thing is a fucking giant pickaxe.
Oh, shit.
Like, it looks like it came out of World of Warcraft. Why would the Robin need this giant pickaxe murder device?
It's the DC Murderverse.
I guess it makes sense. This thing is huge, and it makes absolutely no sense, but it makes sense in Zack Snyder's Murderverse, everyone.
This is just another notch on the belt of somebody who can clearly now make a case that Zack Snyder doesn't know what the fuck these characters are.
Get it. And Snyder is now, they've started shooting at Justice League. We know that. We have some a new cast member joining Justice League. Another alumnus from the Sam Raimi Spider-Man verse, William Dafoe, is joining the cast of the, the Justice League. Scary old Green Goblin, Norman Osborn, William Dafoe as allegedly a good guy, which is hard for me to even see him as a good guy because he's just scary face.
Yeah, didn't we talk about that on the other show?
We talked about this on the Weeby Geek show, listener. We're going to be on episode 166 of Weeby Geeks, the show that we are part of on the network. And when it comes out, I will put the link in the show notes of the show. But, Ruggs, we were trying to guess, who do you think he could play? Who would you like him to play?
Well, we had some guesses, and that's what I was trying to get to. Yeah, we had some guesses. Maybe who was going to be part of Firestorm.
Yeah, somebody throughout. He could make a good Dr. Stein. Here's the thing. I think he could make a good older character, maybe like an older Ray Palmer or an older Ted Kord, Blue Beetle, or maybe even an older Oliver Queen. That's
one. Or Dr. Fate.
Or Dr. Fate. That was a good one. He could also be their Flash's father, Henry Allen. Or how about a cameo as Jay Garrick? And by the way,
what if he's Martian Manhunter? That's what I think.
He could be Martian Manhunter. Oh, by the way, a cameo in DC and Snyder's Murderverse is this. Basically, he'll be in a scene that's completely out of place. You don't know who that is or what's going on. And then it'll just cut to something else without any explanation. That's what he calls.
Oh, shit.
That'll be the cameo. That'll be an Easter egg.
Sounds good to me.
So. Who's next? They got J.K. Simmons playing Gordon. They got William Dafoe. All they need is the Tobey Maguires and the Kristen Dunst, and it's complete.
James Franco.
Yeah, get the James Franco. Just poach the whole Spider-Man cast, Sam Raimi's cast. It's fairly weird. But speaking of staying in the DC universe for a second, our favorite writer, insert sarcasm here, David S. Goyer. He's been trying to get this Krypton prequel show off the ground.
At Sci-Fi?
It looks like Sci-Fi is going to pick up a pilot for this take called Krypton, which is Superman's origin story. And
Or Krapton.
It should be called...
Oh, shit.
It should be called Krapton. This is even... I don't know. I still think this is not a good idea, given how what Gotham has done to the Batman-verse, how they're doing it. This is on Sci-Fi. I don't know. That's even less money, and you're going to need more special effects. This is just – and it's David S. Goyer, who does not understand Superman. Yeah, he wrote the take on the Kryptons and Man of Steel, but I don't think this is going to be any good, personally.
I'll check it out to see what it is, but I know it's going to be shit.
It's going to be crap. Good luck, Sci-Fi. Moving on to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Captain America Civil War is coming out in a couple of weeks. This movie – they're tracking that it's going to have a $175 million opening, Ruggs. That's crazy. This could be, I think it's going to go $200 million.
I can't wait for this thing to just beat the shit out of everything that BVS did in its first week at out.
I think it will be possible. It'll shut them up over there, and they're going to be worried. Look. Right now on Rotten Tomatoes, 97%. It's 85 on Metacritic, not Metacricket. That's that cricket website that talks about itself all the time. No, Metacritic, 85. So in pre-sales, this movie is currently outselling all previous Marvel movies.
Oh, shit.
In the pre-sale. It is Fandango saying this is the most anticipated action movie of the season, followed by Independence Day Resurgence, and then Jason Bourne, X-Men Apocalypse, Suicide Squad. It is outselling all previous movies at the same point in this sales cycle, and Avengers of Ultron, and Winter Soldier. Sorry, it's outselling all of those.
Cool.
So I already bought my ticket. So
that's good news, man.
I'll
looking
be
good.
There. I cannot wait. I hope I can't wait for this movie. More exciting news for the MCU. Jon Favreau, whose movie Jungle Book is destroying at the box office right now. We had $103 million opening. He's coming back to Marvel Studios to executive produce Avengers Infinity War Parts 1 and 2.
Geek Booner.
Which is very good. You need the Favreau. You need the Favreau's sensibilities in there.
He's a talented dude. He should get back to doing tentpole stuff. He's really good at that shit.
Dude, this Jungle Book, I kind of want to see this. I've read things like this is the best use of 3D since Avatar. That you have to see this on a large screen. That and if you've seen the trailers, you've seen the lush background. This whole thing was shot in a soundstage in L.A., Ruggs.
I can't believe it.
That little kid had nobody to act with, and it was all green, and it looks amazing. Like, it looks amazing.
Hey, man, I think it's great. I mean, maybe he took a page out of Cameron's book. You never know.
Yeah, I mean, it's destroying the box office. I'm going to check it out. Now, we have Jordan says the people who did The Life of Pi Tiger, like, the animals look great. They worked
Richard
on...
Richard Parker!
They worked on some of it. What? Is that for the movie?
Yeah, Life of Pi. He says Richard Parker, and then I keep thinking it's Peter Parker's dad.
He's calling for Peter Parker's dad. Speaking of Peter Parker... Got some more interesting Spider-Man reboot casting news. Spider-Man Homecoming, the reboot coming out next year, next summer. We got someone in and we got someone out. Robert Downey Jr., RDJ, confirmed in Spider-Man Homecoming.
Geek boner.
So Iron Man's making an appearance.
Iron Man will be in Spider-Man, which, as we said, makes sense since we think he gives him the suit in Civil War. Now, who's out? Unfortunately, we were geeking out about this last week. Michael Keaton in talks. Michael Keaton is no longer in talks to do a villain for Spider-Man. He's out.
He wanted to play Batman.
He just wants to play Batman again.
I want to be Batman again, and that's it.
I would have loved to see him. Hey, thanks for checking us out in the blab. I just want to say real quick, I am Golden Music. If you stick around at the end of the show, we open up the seat and we will geek out with you. But I was excited to see Michael Keaton in this. You know what? It's okay. Get someone else.
You know what I heard? What happened was that brought him in for a fitting to try in the vulture thing.
Yeah.
And he kept on telling him, can you paint it black? And I want pointy ears on this thing.
Oh, shit.
He's like, I like the wings, but I just need some bat ears.
Can we get some more rubber and some bat ears? I feel more comfortable that way.
Yeah.
Look, I still think the villain is going to be Vulture. I remember Raimi wanted Malkovich to play the Vulture for, like, Spider-Man 4 or something. So anybody would kill to be in this part, I think.
What about
Cranston? Oh, dude, Bryan Cranston. If they didn't, get Bryan Cranston. Get Cranston in here, stat! Where is he?
He looks great bald. He's a good actor.
Yeah. Look, this movie, we're going to hear a lot because they got to pick somebody. This movie starts production in June, and it'll come out next summer. Now, I think, Ruggs, do you think people are in Spider-Man fatigue, being like, this is the third goddamn reboot of Spider-Man again?
Yeah.
Okay, I think after Civil War comes out, though, there will be no more Spider-Man fatigue. I think they're gonna be like, okay, I get it. This is a different Spider-Man. I'm excited again. This is what I've been hearing. Is that after watching this, you want to see Spider-Man in his own movie. You want to see this Spider-Man.
Man,
I can't wait. If they could do that, then they've accomplished so much with this movie. So.
Well, the last Spider-Man movie came out like 2 or 3 years ago,
Yeah, not too long ago. It's still fresh. The stinkiness is still fresh.
You got to wait at least 5 or 6 years before you do another one.
But you know what? That movie is funny. Like, it was profitable. It made a lot of money, but nobody liked it. Nobody ended up liking it, but it did make a lot of money.
I liked it. I just thought I didn't like the end.
Yeah, no, it was like half...
They should have taken the Green Goblin out of that movie.
It was like a quarter of a movie taken. He's been talking.
Could have taken him out.
It was like a little, they just didn't know when to stop. Again, I think it's studios. They're like, shove this in, and they always fuck it up. The suits always fuck it up.
Yeah, they shove things in, and they don't, like, they ruined the whole thing because now they don't give it enough time.
Yeah, it's too much, too soon. Like, you're bringing in a whole other villain right at the end. Anyways, I'm ready for Civil War. I'm ready for all the Spider-Man you can throw at me. Hair is all my money. Moving on to some Marvel on Netflix news, Ruggs. Luke Cage is coming out, and they have started shooting The Iron Fist with Finn Jones. We have some casting, and we have some photos. So we have cast... As there's the whole Meacham family. There he is right there. They've cast David Wenham, who will play Harold Meacham. And they've cast Jessica Stroop and Tom Pelfrey to play siblings Joy and Ward Meacham, Harold Meacham's kids. So how this fits into the story, in the comic books, Danny Rand's father was friends with Harold Meacham. They were business partners. They were looking for Kunlun. They went on this trip, his parents with Harold Meacham, and there was an accident, and it was Harold's fault, and his parents die. So now Danny Rand is living with the Meachams, and they build up his company, and Danny studies the Iron Fist and wants to come back and get revenge on Harold because he killed his dad and his parents. And I don't know if the TV show is going to do that, but we also have photos. He looks like a homeless hippie, basically.
Danny Rand? Is that Danny Rand?
That's Danny Rand. That's Finn Jones's Danny Rand. He's got a big beard. He's not wearing any shoes. He's got dirty pants. And like, how do you describe that, Ruggs? Who is that? What does that look like to you?
Just looks like a dude. He just looks like Leonardo DiCaprio, like on any given day.
He kind of does. He looks like Leo, and he hasn't taken care of himself for a while.
No, just that's normal Leo. He doesn't give any enough to bathe. He's dirty. He can be dirty for 3 days, and he'll still get laid.
So I don't know what point of the show this is, but he looks like a homeless white dude, basically.
Yeah.
There's other shots where he has like an iPhone in his ear. There's cords. It's very weird. But our first look as Finn Jones as Danny Rand in Marvel's Iron Fist on Netflix.
Okay. Danny Rand.
Ruggs, you know, I turned 40, like we said, a couple weeks ago. So growing up, I watched a show that was very inappropriate for me, but I watched it anyways. And that show was Three's Company.
Okay.
With the job. Well, guess what? They're going to make a movie. There's a Three's Company movie in development. That's
Get
be s-
the hell
right.
out! Of
oh shit!
Who gave you the right?
What? I just look. I perked up when I read this because I remember watching Three's Company with the Jack Tripper with Chrissy and Janet, and not getting the sexual innuendo, but just laughing because John Ritter was an amazing, physical comedian.
For all the people that grew up like way after Imran did, let's describe the premise of the show. Three's Company is like. There's a dude, he wants to live in an apartment building.
With two girls.
But he can't, yeah.
With
but
two women.
But he can't afford it. So he's got to move in with these two girls. Now, during those times, I guess, it was frowned upon for men to live with women out of wedlock.
Very scandalous.
He pretended to be gay.
Yes.
So nobody would suspect that he was like having like some kind of like threesome relationship.
All I remember are Suzanne Summers' cleavage as Cindy every episode.
I remember Joyce DeWitt.
Joyce DeWitt. Oh, my God. But, yeah. So, Jack, you know, and you had Don Knotts as Mr. Furley and the Ropers, and he would pretend to be gay. And I just remember laughing at, like, I didn't know why I was laughing, but, like, one episode where Jack and Chrissy are in the bathroom and the door's closed and they're trying to hang a shower curtain, and Furley's just listening outside, and all he hears is, like, it doesn't fit. It's just like, well, you got to unfold it first. And then Furley's just, like, reacting like he doesn't know what's going on, and I would laugh, and I don't know why. She's like, I'm trying to pull it out, but it doesn't fit. Oh man, it was nothing but sexual innuendo, and it was great. So, but I don't think it needs a movie.
Nobody gives a shit if you live with two girls anymore,
right? It's not, you're right, at the time, and for it to be a sitcom, it was pretty, it was pretty racy to be like a primetime sitcom.
Yeah, it was cool to make fun of gay people then, too.
Oh shit.
Oh, the good old early 80s. Three's Company finally gave us Quagmire from Family Guy, which is like a direct rip of the neighbor Larry. And the Regal, remember the Regal Beagle?
You remember Greedy Gretchen?
Greedy Gretchen.
They were always trying to get a date with Greedy Gretchen.
Remember the different girl? Like, there was Cindy, and then there was, there was Chrissy, then there was her sister Cindy, and then it was Terry the nurse who finished out the season. And then there was a spinoff that wasn't really good at all.
And you get to see Terry the nurse's boobs in Mallrats.
That's right. And does she have a third nipple or a third boob?
Yeah, and then she eats it.
Then she eats it. That's very strange. Moving on. If you guys are fans of The Walking Dead, or especially if you're fans of The Walking Dead comic book, there's an awesome one-shot. It's a digital-only one-shot you can get. And it's not written by Kirkman. It's written by Brian K. Vaughan. They get to play in the Walking Dead universe. It's called The Alien. And you can get it at Panel Syndicate Comics at panelsyndicate.com. The beauty of this, it's a pay-what-you-want structure. So I bought it. I read it. I put in $4. I could put in a dollar, but I was just used to like paying $4 for comics. and it lets you download a PDF of it. And there's a really cool – the character – there's two characters. It takes place in Barcelona. It's black and white with just a little bit of highlights color for effect. It's really well done. It takes place in Barcelona. The characters Jeff and Claudia. Jeff is a relation to someone in the main universe. I don't want to spoil it. You guys should check it out because Panel Syndicate – it's really cool. You could go there and get it for a dollar. Download it. Read it right there. Panel Syndicate is set up by Brian K. Vaughan is one of the guys who set it up. And they just want to be able to put out really good comic books and have it available to everyone. It's DRM free, no rights, pay what you want, and you get original comic books. Ruggs, does this sound interesting to you at all?
Yeah, I'll check it out.
I kind of want to tell you who's in it. There's someone that's related to like one of the main cast of The Walking Dead, but I want you guys to support them because it's really cool. Maybe next show I'll spoil it.
Yeah, wait till next show and we'll tell you all about it.
You guys read it. Oh, a couple, two things left. The Terminator people, they've been talking about making more movies. I don't think they really know what they want to do with the franchise, but they're going to need a new Sarah Connor. Emilia Clarke is done. She's out. She will not be reprising the role of Sarah Connor that she played in Terminator Gen Y Sice. Or okay. Gina Sice.
I got you the perfect Sarah Connor.
All right. Who should it be, Ruggs?
Katie Lotz. She's the White Canary.
White Canary. Yeah. Katie Lotz as Sarah Connor. She's pretty badass.
She's badass. She can act. She knows what she's doing. She knows how to move. She can hold a gun and look convincing.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. That would be a great role for her. I mean, I liked Emilia Clarke. It was kind of forgettable, but I don't think that was her fault, really.
My second go-to would probably be, this is weird, but I would say Lindsay Fonseca because...
You love the Lindsay Fonseca, yeah.
Well, not that I love her. She's not a great actress, but she can do that's the same action stuff as well.
Dottie from Agent Carter, right?
Yeah.
Carlos Realty at Real TLN says Wonder Woman will be good. Gal Gadot as a Terminator? I mean, a Sarah Connor?
She could do it, but she has an accent. She's not American.
That's a good point. You got
America!
America! It's so hard to replace Linda Hamilton, man. That's how dope she was in that part.
That's right.
She can do an American accent. The Cumberpatch can do it for Doctor Strange. She could do it. I don't know. Finally, last bit of news. Listener, if you listen to our episode, Jock and Nerd, episode 64, we had our friend and Oscar award winning filmmaker, Sean Christensen, on for an awesome discussion about the entertainment industry, music, film. And he had hinted about his next project called a movie called Sydney Hall. And so I see this in Variety, of all places, Variety. Logan Lerman, Ellie Fanning to star in Sean Christensen's Sydney Hall. Joining them, Michelle Moynihan, Kyle Chandler, and Nathan Lane are set to star in this movie, Ruggs. That's pretty
looks like it's going to be awesome.
That is a great cast. It's an indie drama called Sydney Hall. He's directing it from a script he co-wrote with his buddy Jason Dolan. And,
nice guy.
Yeah, the story follows three stages in life of the title character who writes the book of his generation before disappearing without a trace. Very interesting. Begins production next week in New York City. So, man, I can't wait for Sean's next movie to come out, man. Before I Disappear and Curfew, of course, were very good. And listen to episode 64, Jock and Nerd, if you want to hear more. It was a very good show.
Look, I'll tell you this about Sean Christensen. He's definitely got some kind of genius level there. He's got that thing. He has a good eye. He knows what he's doing. So I want to keep my eye on this guy. When he's an old fuck, he's probably going to have an Oscar.
Absolutely. No, you're absolutely right. Keep your eye on Sean Christensen. This guy is taking his career slowly and the right way, building up. He's done great things. He's going to continue to do really good things. All right, that wraps up the news. Let's get to the TV shows.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hey, listen, isn't this fucking shit awesome? Wouldn't it be great if someone actually, like, liked it enough to actually maybe support us? How about that, Imran? Did you ever think about that for one second?
Well, look, listener, if you like what you're hearing so far, we do have a way for you to support us.
And how the fuck do they do that?
Go on to jockandnerd.com/Patreon, or you can go on to patreon.com/jockandnerd, which is our virtual tip jar.
It works both ways. Listener, support us for any amount. You're going to get access to awesome bonus content. Rugs has got mini episodes, instant reactions to movies, more geeky audio than you can shake a geek stick at.
Or a geek stick at.
Oh, boy.
Oh, shit.
So go on to patreon.com/jockandnerd and donate today.
It's not just any day. It's Mr. Throwback Thursday.
Hey, this is Jamie.
And this is Bill, and we are the Mr. Throwback Thursday podcast.
Do you remember when the wheels were steel and the beats were real?
We do, and we talk about it every Thursday.
You can check out Woo News, One and Done, Record of the Week, and a whole lot more.
That's Mr. Throwback Thursday, keeping it classic on iTunes, Stitcher, and at highvoltageradio.com.
And always remember, new school stale, old school fresh.
Doc and Nerd.
Jockin' Nerd!
Let's spoil some shit, Batman!
Thanks for checking us out. This is the Jockin' Nerd podcast. We're going to be talking about this week's latest episode of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 3, Episode 17, titled The Team.
Yes.
Secret Warriors Assemble! For like 5 minutes, and then the whole thing kind of fell apart there.
Absolutely.
A little bit. We got to see Daisy, Quake, Sky, whatever you want to call her, finally pull the Secret Warriors together. Lincoln, electric shooty guy Lincoln, metal melty guy Joey Gutierrez, short distance really running fast girl Yo-Yo, and of course shaky shaky girl Daisy.
Okay, so they have to rescue somebody or something?
Right? Well, they gotta go get the whole team, because remember Gira had the plane in Hydra, and did you notice at the beginning, like, Joey was, like, picking up guys, or he was going on a date? That was great. Like, I didn't realize that character was gay, but I like how they
I've heard him say gay things before.
Oh, really? I was like, oh, he's picking up dudes, cool. But that was funny, and Yo-Yo's, like, trying to learn English, and they just grab him, and they literally bust through the wall when they get to Hydra. That was kind of badass.
Yeah, it was cool. Like, what happens is they go in and do the big rescue, and then
they grab Malik.
By proxy, they get infected.
Well, yes, they grab Malik, and look, it was a good use of, like, it was really short. That was the only problem. Like, it was right the first 5 minutes of the episode, but you really got to see the teamwork with their powers. Like, Joey would melt bullets shooting at them, and then Yo-Yo runs around and puts handcuffs on. I was like, cool teamwork. That's a lot of fun. And then they grab Malik and they get him, and it's just so, it's all quick, but Malik tells them, Hive likes to infect Inhumans, and you sent 4 Inhumans in there, I guarantee you, one of them is infected, and he's kind of messing with Coulson, but Coulson, buys it, and he should, because he was right, one of them was infected.
Do you want to say who it was?
Well, we'll say who it was. I liked how they did this, Ruggs. Did you get they kind of tricked me. It was the last person you thought. First you thought it was Lincoln. Then you thought it was Yo-Yo.
Yeah.
Then you thought it was Joey for a second because he kept disappearing.
Yeah.
Again, spoiler. It was fucking Daisy.
Oh, shit.
That's huge, and I did not expect that coming. What'd you think, Ruggs?
I think after it wasn't the first guy, I figured it was Daisy.
You're like, if it's the last person we think of, it's going to be Daisy.
If it, like, it's either the most obvious person that nobody trusts, and they're like, fuck you. Or they're like, oh, we're going to do it the last possible person you would think it is.
You know, despite that the whole Secret Warriors battling thing ended quickly, I kind of enjoyed, like, the spy mistrust, everyone doesn't trust each other kind of bit about the episode.
I don't know. I hate that. I hate when they do that. They need to let things breathe a little more.
No,
They just, as soon as they get together, they hate each other. It's like when a couple, they've been wanting to get together all season. And then they finally get together, they go on that date, and then they hate each other's guts. It's like it's every cliche that you've ever seen.
It's pretty cliche. Also, I was sad that Malik got killed, dude. They killed Gideon Malik. Powers fucking Booth, dude. Powers Booth goes back to the Avengers movies. He was on those screens when they were talking to S.H.I.E.L.D. Gideon Malik, I'm sad to see him go because I love him. Him and Coulson together on screen were great.
Yeah. Well, he is no longer useful to Hive. He's just like, fuck it, dude. He knew that he was weak. That's why he killed his daughter.
Yeah, that's true. He was so that flash he saw was kind of true. It was Hive killing him through Daisy, and she like squishes his head. It's pretty brutal.
Yeah. She commits murder.
And she tried to get Lincoln to go with her, and he wasn't buying it. And finally you get Fitz and Simmons, they kiss. And you think they're all going to be happy, and then all shit starts breaking loose. Why? Because Daisy, on the way out, she steals a bunch of crystals. She steals that orb thingy, and she's just shaking the whole place on their way out. It's all crumbling, collapsing. The fucking Airbus is getting damaged. Looks like Coulson got squished. And that was nuts. I did not – what's going to happen? She's – so – is she going to die in the end? Like, Hive has her. It's amazing.
They're going to figure out a way to uninfect her. That's all.
What a reunion that it's going to be. Because, like, Hive has Ward's memories. So he's going to be like, he'll be ecstatic that he's, like, returned to the girl that he wanted.
Well, isn't Fitz and Simmons working on some kind of cure?
Yeah, they were trying to use what's his name's, the Creel blood from Crusher. But yeah, it wasn't working. It didn't work. And then there's also the question of where Lash is and when he's going to come in and just save everyone. Like, I think Lash is just going to come in and save everybody.
That could be the Deus Ex Machina.
Yeah, that ending was crazy. But overall, like, I wish I saw more of them, like, the fighting a little bit. It was just, you're right. It's very quick.
Yeah, they rushed it. They used it as, like... Yeah, sometimes what they do is they make these things so they can make the commercials look cool, and so you'll tune in, and then there's really nothing there.
What a tease. I like how they explained his name, though. His name was Alvius, which is Latin for Hive. That's the name Hive.
Alvius.
Alvius, what are you doing? Did you take out the trash, Alvius?
Alvius and the Chipmunks.
Alvius! Alvius!
I beat you to it.
All right, well, yeah, that was mostly that episode. Anything else you got on that, Ruggs?
Nah.
All right, moving on.
On to the next.
Moving on, then.
Strap yourselves in, you fucks. Spoiler time.
All right, gang, we're going to talk about the new episode of Supergirl. It was the season finale. We didn't really talk about the show a lot, but we talked about it last week. This was kind of like a two-parter season finale. First season finale, episode 20, titled Better Angels. I don't know. This episode was kind of all over the place. I just watched to see what the hell was going to happen after the end of the last one because they hooked me. I almost liked the last episode better than this episode.
Oh, it's much better than this one.
Right? It was a little bit wonky. You know, where we left off, Alex and Kara were leaping up for a big battle. And Alex was kind of kicking the shit out of her because she was holding back, I guess. She didn't want to kill her.
They did the Batman versus Superman with them.
They totally did the same thing where Batman is winning.
She was wearing a suit that was all like robotic. She had a kryptonite sword instead of a kryptonite gas gun.
Or a spear.
Yeah.
And how does it get conveniently stopped very quickly right in the beginning of the episode?
It just happens.
Her mom comes and talks her out of it, basically.
Oh, shit.
There's a lot of things like that.
She's like, have some hope, Alex. And she snaps out of it. And then Supergirl goes on and does like an infomercial for people. And then everyone, it's an infomercial selling hope. $9.99. Oh, but wait, there's more. You'll get twice the amount of hope if you act now. And everyone snaps out.
That was their genius idea.
And it worked. Everyone snaps out of Myriad. So, this Myriad grand plan that wasn't he working on this for like decades? Non and the Kryptonians. Yeah. They're working on this forever. It is taken down pretty much in an instant by a PSA about hope.
They should have run a slap chop ad too. You know, button it in with there.
So that all wrapped up very quickly, which led to the next hilarious bit was that for some reason, Superman is the only one still unconscious and out. Like, everyone else is fine, And so what do you see the rest of the episode, Ruggs?
A useless bitch-ass Superman who doesn't do anything?
You see them having a conversation, and you just see Superman's legs on the table behind them. Like, it's the most... It was just... I was laughing so hard. I was like, seriously? That nobody... And nobody even, like, mentions him. Like, you just see his fucking boots lying on the table behind them. It was hilarious. but we have a couple of... other revelations, Alex tells her mom about their father, finally, that their father is alive.
Yeah.
So once the Myriad fails, that Indigo girl is like, you know what? How about you just crank this to 11 and blow everyone's brains out? And Nan's like, okay, you're the boss. And that becomes the plan.
Yeah, so now they switch to now they have to get Nan and Indigo girl to shut this stuff off.
And it's not like, you know, it would make sense if he's like, look, I'm going to turn it up. The thing will go up. They'll explode. You can't do that, apparently. It takes a long, slow time to build up, giving Supergirl and Martian Manhunter lots of time to fight Indigo and Nan. And I did love when John ripped fucking Indigo in half. I was not expecting that. I was like,
oh, shit.
Oh boy. And then she's like all blue pieces and she's still talking.
I'd like to just... put this out there to whoever's making Supergirl the show.
Yeah,
you got to get someone else to do the makeup and costuming for people because, like, they're 50-50. Like, the heroes look good, and then everybody else looks like shit.
Oh, my God.
Indigo looks so bad.
Oh, my God. She looks like really bad cosplay. I'll agree. Like, I like the Manhunter, whether it's, like, a combination of, like, CGI and prosthetics, whatever they're doing, it works. But when they were fighting together, when he was fighting, it was so – it looked like Power Rangers. It looked like fucking Power Rangers.
The Indigo could have been cool looking.
Yeah. Yeah. Even the design, it just – it didn't make sense. The coolest thing Indigo did was being ripped in half by Martian
– oh, shit.
Fucking man Splinter.
Yeah.
Another great and also ridiculous moment, Kara – has to fly the whole, like, Roz prison up into the sky. She doesn't think she's coming back. She's told everyone goodbye. And she pushes this thing up. She flies it up. And it's very dramatic, and I get it. And then, out of nowhere, somehow fucking Alex Danvers has figured out how to fly a Kryptonian ship, and it's there in time to save her.
Oh, shit.
Really?
Bullshit. What? Why are you putting people through this?
Why wouldn't that be Martian Manhunter? Wouldn't that make more sense? You would have flown up there. I get.
Yeah, let Martian Man Boobs handle it.
Man Boobs would have done it.
Like, that's the thing. Another thing is that the amount of strength, first of all, they shot themselves in the foot by saying how much it weighed.
Right.
They said it was like billions of tons or something.
Yeah.
Right. Didn't like Mr. Lane say it was like they couldn't move it because it was too heavy to do anything with. It was freaking. Yeah. So now they just established that Supergirl could pretty much pick up a planet.
You know, but you know what else bothered me? Like, I wish where she picked it up from the top. That whole thing would have just ripped off. Like, I was like, why aren't you carrying it from the bottom? This is just physics. This is very inefficient. Like, if she's carrying it from inside the top sphere, the whole thing should have ripped apart. I thought it would have been nice at one point for her to kind of, like, pop it up and then just come underneath and cradle it. I don't know. And it didn't look like she was really exerting a lot of force. I don't know. I get what they had to do. And I get that the heart of this show, this whole season, has been the sisters' relationship. So it had to be Alex to come fucking save her, but it was kind of fucking silly.
A little forced, yes.
So at the end, you got John Jones reinstated with the DEO. They trust him, and they're going to let him work there. That's cool. Kara, like, Cat Grant just gives her a new office and a yet-to-be-determined job. Does this happen?
Give her a closet office.
They give her a closet office, and she's like, you could just make up whatever job you want. I got to hire a new assistant. Okay.
You want to know? I think this is to address the fact that everybody was talking about how why would Supergirl be a flunky to like some lady and get her coffee?
But she's not a writer. Like, what's she going to do? What is she going to write? What is she going to be doing? I don't get it.
She's just being paid to be Cat Grant's friend.
I guess she loves the Cat Grant. So then there's the whole, do you buy like the, even the chemistry between Kara and James Olsen? Like, it seems a little awkward.
Nah, it's not real.
Yeah, it seems a little, like she kisses him and then she doesn't want to kiss him. They want to be together. Just why? I don't need this. And I don't understand. Can you explain to me the champagne trick, the Superman bottle champagne trick? Where she just holds the bottle and the cork pops off. Like, what is that? Why does it do that? Does she squeeze the bottle?
I don't know.
It's a thing, apparently. And she did it at the end of that episode. And I was like, what? How did she do that? Anyways, that whole thing, you think it's over. Suddenly there's a thing streaking through the sky and there's another fucking Kryptonian pod. And she opens it up and she's like, oh, no, not you, or some shit. And of course, we don't see what it is. Ruggs, what's in the pod? What's in the pod?
It's a Kryptonian person.
Okay, I think we've narrowed it down.
Terrific.
To someone from another. I wish they would just. What about some other fucking bad guys? Why are they always got to be? And where were all these Kryptonian that like non? I did like. What'd you think of the battle? The heat vision battle between her and Non. She kind of LASIKed the ass out of his eyes. She gave.
Yeah,
him some,
she's done that before though with the tornado guy.
Yeah, I like when they do that. It looks cool, but like. So they just lock Non up and then all the others left. I don't know. I didn't.
I have an idea who might be in the pod.
Who's in the pod?
Maybe it's Ursula.
Oh, who was Ursula?
Ursula was the TV version of the girl who comes down with Zod.
The girl. Yeah. The girl in Superman 2.
And then they renamed her Feyora.
Yes. Oh, another warrior. Kryptonian warrior. Well, overall, the season, I don't know, man. I feel like they had potential and they didn't really make good use of a lot of things.
It was underwhelming in a lot of ways, but I think they could still make a good show if they just get on track.
I mean, they had 20 episodes to kind of smooth this thing out, and I feel like they're still kind of finding their way around.
They made a move though. They moved Kara to a different job.
Yeah.
They they got her to hook up with Jimmy Olsen.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
They got John Jones in there as that third character to make, you know, have her have a partner to play with, you know.
Yeah.
And now she's got new bad guys. She's got Non and PETA and any other bread that wants to fight her. And
I feel like it's almost there. It's like, remember our illustration teacher would say when he'd give a critique and we're just a little bit off on the point. He'd be like, you got your hand in the fridge, but you can't find the mayonnaise, kid.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. You got your hand in the oven, but you can't find the cake yet.
Yeah. You got your hand on your pants, but you can't find where you put the coin in the slot.
You got your hand in your pants, but you forgot to get the lube. Anyways, maybe we'll see where it goes next season. It was one season in. Good to see Supergirl on TV, I guess. She looks great. There's always that.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Next show, everybody. The Jock and Nerd Podcast. I prepare for a time mind fuck right now, listener, because we're going to be talking about this week's new episode of The Flash. Season 2, episode 18, titled Versus Zoom. And boy, we get a lot of Zoom backstory. I don't know if all of it made sense. I don't know if any of it made sense. Ruggs, you want to start? What'd you think of this overall?
I think it was like a flashback of like Zoom when he was a kid, when he was Hunter Zolomon.
Yeah, it started out, they kind of made an analogy with Hunter Zolomon's childhood and Barry's, whereas Barry, when he was young, saw his mother get killed, his dad go to prison, and he had a support, he had a family to take him in, and he became a really good person. On Earth 2, some years ago, a young Hunter Zolomon sees his mom get shot by his crazy dad.
Yeah.
And then he's got nobody. He gets sent to an orphanage and becomes Earth 2's most famous serial killer who looks like, which is crazy because how did Wells 2 not recognize him then? Just because he had a long hair and a beard? Like he didn't.
Yeah, that could be it.
Plus, if Caitlin had just said the words Hunter Zolomon like three episodes earlier, they could have got to this conclusion a lot sooner. But we see, this is what we see. Okay, this is what was awesome. That tachyon device they got in the last episode, they're testing it out. And Barry's running, and he's like, I can go faster, guys. And I love how Sisko goes, do it. Like, he's so into it. It's like turning him on, and he goes, do it. I was like, whoa, it's a little much. So he goes super fast, and you see him pop out and pop back in and get to Star Labs. And he's like, am I back? I think that's when he went to Supergirl.
Possibly.
But, of course, he never mentions it to anybody, does he?
No, he doesn't. He just kind of glosses over that fact.
Why wouldn't you tell people? The only thing I'm thinking is maybe they shot it all out of order and they didn't know it was going to happen. What did you mention? I just went. But look, they're looking for a way to get to another dimension. He just visited yet another dimension. What didn't you mention?
Maybe he didn't. You're just inferring it. That's the whole point. You don't want to say it definitively.
Damn it. It was he has the same device on in Supergirl. He was wearing that thing in that when he showed up in that episode. He popped it out. I was like, that's it. That's it. But it makes him four times faster, dude. He's now faster than Zoom.
Yeah. So, yeah, it does give him the edge on the speed.
And then this leads to a whole bunch of stupid decisions that Barry wants to make. Bite him in the ass, which is kind of the theme of this whole show. Barry just can't catch a break. He wants to open up the breaches again. And Wells is like, now, fuck that. I ain't helping you open up those breaches. Are you crazy? The guy kidnapped my daughter. You want him back here? Which he has a good point, Wells, too, does.
But Wells comes around eventually. Hey, listen, I got to go on a break for a second. I'll be right back. You can open up one of the seats, maybe talk to Jordan for a second. I'll be right back
in
like 2 minutes.
Jackie Nerd! Ruggs, you good now?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, we're going to continue. We're going
to
get back.
Did you have to go to the bathroom?
I think he did, right?
I initially was going to go take a piss, but then something else happened.
Sometimes it's hard to control the muscles. You know, one thing gets confused. With the other thing.
Please.
Something I did not plan for happened. This happens a lot to me, by the way.
He's just made of felt, people. It's not his fault.
Yeah, I'm not really wired well.
He's got
infected, probably just leaks through the felt.
Felty incontinence.
When he tries to hold it in.
Hey, listen. A man's got to do what a man's got to do. That's
listen, send Rug Boy coupons for cotton balls. It'll help him out.
Yeah, lace them with Imodium, please.
He needs cotton balls dipped in Imodium.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to continue where we left off. Carlos, thanks for popping in. And now, back to our regularly scheduled Jock and Nerd podcast, where we were talking about The Flash. So, Ruggs, Zoom, what do we know about Zoom? He's Hunter Zolomon. He started on life as Earth 2 as Hunter Zolomon.
Yes.
But he became a serial killer, killing 23 people, which is a big number. Then he got his powers while he was in an insane asylum.
Yeah, because that's when the explosion happened.
That's right when he was getting shock therapy. The particle accelerator explodes and only gives him powers. Nobody else. And then he decides, this is the part that was confusing. He decides to make up the name Jay Garrick and be a superhero just for fun. He's like, I just thought it would be fun to be a monster or something, or fun to play a hero, but he's really a monster. This part, what was going on?
I don't know. They didn't really do a good job of explaining it. It would have been cool if they would have been like, I had an epiphany, I got these powers, maybe God gave them to me, and I wanted to use them to do good, and then eventually the old me just kept creeping back, and I couldn't fight it off any longer.
Yeah, when all he says is, Velocity 9 is killing me, and I just need your power, Barry, and I'll do whatever it takes. I liked a couple, when we learned about Hunter Zolomon, the serial killer, I love the line where Wells 2 was like, oh, it was a big story. There was a podcast about it. And I was like, what?
Oh, shit.
There's podcasts on Earth, too, which led me to think that there's probably a version of the Serial podcast or on Earth, too, about Hunter Zolomon, about Zoom. I want to hear that. Somebody should.
Yeah, there's probably a Nerd and Jock podcast.
So there's a, it's, yeah, there's a Nerd and Jock podcast, and there's a, what's the, what would be Earth 2 Rug Boy?
It'd be like Carpet Boy.
It'd be like Curtain Girl. No, it'd be Curtain Girl instead of the rug.
Oh, okay.
Boy. Got it? Curtain Girl. It's horrible.
Okay. Lame.
It's horrible. So they do a whole chase, and he eventually leads Zoom. They set a trap for him, and they take him down with cardboard cutouts of his parents.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that was I was so mad. I'm like, dude, this is the stupidest thing ever. That they're able to pop these things out faster than that guy can run at the speed of light, practically.
There, so they do the CGI, you know, slow mo running. Some of it was good, some of it was really bad. But yeah, this guy can run at the speed of light, but you can pop out a cardboard cutout of his mom, and it'll stop him in his tracks. So that was hilarious. Barry puts the boot on his leg, and they have a nice little confrontation. Finally. Unmasked. And then he's all like, you can't lock in the darkness. It just fucking vibrates out of everything and takes off. They can't find him. He steals Wally. Now,
yeah.
He puts Wally, this part was confusing too. He puts Wally in the cage with the Man in the Iron Mask, right? So you see the Man in the Iron. Is that on Earth too?
Yeah.
Okay, so he goes back and forth really quickly because then he's back. He wants to do a trade. He's going to trade Wally West for Barry Speed, right?
Yeah.
So, inexplicably, Barry says yes. And I was like, really? I was like, okay, maybe they're setting something up. He lets Wally go. Wally gets away. Wally's gone. He's safe. They're all pointing guns at Zoom. Yet they do nothing. They still give him fucking Barry Speed.
Yeah.
I was like, what are you doing? Just fucking shoot him.
How dare you do this to us?
Why are you just standing there, dude?
Well, they need to go to the next, leave you with a cliffhanger. That's what it is.
And we find out more of his backstory. He explains. So explain to me this. He explains that the Jay Garrick we knew, or at least the Jay Garrick we saw die by Zoom, was a time remnant that he pulled from an alternate timeline and convinced himself to die for this plan when he would also want the same plan. Like, this was messy. It was like the Eobard Thawne thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't really get behind this thing when it's so confusing. I just was like kind of watching it in the background at some point. I started like picking up my phone and reading it.
Well, look, they have a bunch of these time holes, I like to call them, which are time plot holes. Time holes that they could just throw in there and be like, oh, yeah, it was just a time remnant. Doesn't matter. It's not going to affect me in the past or the future. It's a separate fucking thing. Whatever.
But when they were in the Earth 2 jail, and the guy was trying to get him to in the mask, was saying, who are you? He said, Jay.
He taps out Jay, which, so they ask him, point blank, who's the guy in the mask? And, of course, they tease us some more by having Zoom say, oh, you wouldn't believe me if I told you. I think it's the original Jay Garrick. How many fucking Jay? Are there, like, two Jay Garricks, two Hunter Zolomons? Or is there only two Hunter Zolomons and a Jay Garrick? Or what the fuck is going on?
I don't know. Maybe Jay Garrick is actually Hunter Zolomon on Earth 1.
Well, so the Berlanti, or one of the producers, came out and said, to clear the air, they said, we will not make Jay Garrick a villain. So the real Jay Garrick will be a hero. And he's like, he pretty much just said, don't worry, just keep watching. Which, of course, we're going to do.
So he's got to be the guy in the mask.
I think he's the guy in the mask. I think that's the actual Earth 2 Jay Garrick or something. God, it's so confusing. They do another stupid thing, and it just keeps going. Like, I didn't like the ending, because they give him the speed. He's about to kill Barry. Caitlin talks him out of it, and then he just runs off with Caitlin, which that didn't make sense. And I was like, really? But it's just weird that they had this big confrontation so early, so soon before the, there's still like 3 or 4 episodes left. So it just seemed kind of odd that they did
this. I don't
know.
I thought it was a very odd episode. It took a little bit of the wind of Zoom sales for me. Like, I feel like he's not as strong of a character now.
Yeah, I gotta agree. It demystified it and just kind of made him, it almost made him like, again, bad for no reason, just cause. Carlos says Zoom has to die. One of the Zooms has to die. Speaking of dying, people dying, Ruggs, let me ask you this. An article just came out talking about some of the characters we may see in the Flash movie. The DCEU movie, they're casting for these characters. They're casting for an Iris West. They're casting for an Eobard Thawne. They're casting for a character named Fred Shire, who in the comics was a Keystone City Police. They're casting for a Leonard Snart, and they're casting for a Jay Garrick. Now, my question is this. We saw an Arrow. They killed off Amanda Waller. They killed off Deadshot. Now we got a Suicide Squad movie with those characters.
Yeah.
Are they going to kill these characters, or are they just going to have them exist separately in the separate multiverses?
I don't know. I think that they're not going to get rid of the Flash.
They can't get rid of the Flash, but Snart and Jay Garrick and Iris West, it's going to get confusing.
Nah. I mean, do you think that people have to carry that over to the TV show, to the movies?
No, they don't, but like, you know, we talked about how, you know, you have a perfect Flash, why are you recasting it? But all this DC stuff exists in multiverses. So I just thought that was interesting.
Do you think Marvel would do that?
No, Marvel would keep it. They would keep everything together.
If they got a shot at a Daredevil movie, they wouldn't use Charlie Cox?
Oh, snap.
What if they got a bigger name? What if Leonardo DiCaprio wanted to deal with
it? See, I feel like the DCEU can get away with that quicker than Marvel can, because the way they've set it up in the MCU, these are the same people, you know?
Because Netflix is not even on, you know, it's not even on network TV.
That's true. Like,
it's not even on Disney's channel, which is 7, or ABC.
ABC. How crazy would it be that if they have another guy playing Daredevil in the movie and another guy playing Daredevil on the Netflix shows, but they're the same character, but there's two different people. But the continuity crosses up with that. No, that wouldn't make any sense. That's retarded.
Lame.
I don't know what I'm talking about. Anyways, this was I liked the beginning of this episode. It made my head hurt, but then the way it ended got me very frustrated.
It's weird because you have canon that's established, like in a comic book, and then the movies ignore it. Then you have canon that's established in a TV show, and then the movies are going to ignore it. So the movies never do anything they're supposed to do. And this is the thing that bothers me. There's a whole generation of kids that think that the movies are canon.
Right. They think that's where it started. And they're like, why are these comic books all different? Oh, boy. Yeah. You know, we're just going to have to see where they're taking this Flash. It was, like I said, good episode until the end. Because I was just excited to see them face off with the Zooms.
I'm really feeling fatigued with all these shows, to tell you the truth. Like, I don't remember a lot of them because I seriously just pick up my phone and just start fucking around.
Well, if they can't hold your attention, then that's telling, Ruggs. I mean, you have a felty mind, so it really takes quite a good piece of fiction to hold the Rug Boy's attention, let me tell you what.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get to the next show then. Here's some more time travel fuckery, listener, and Ruggs, to make your head hurt. I'm talking about this week's episode of Legends of Tomorrow, Season 1, Episode 11, Last Refuge. This is another one that if you think about it too much, you're like, wait a minute, wait, what? But you can't, so we're not going to spend too much time on it.
Stupid. It's really stupid.
You know what? I did appreciate at least we're getting more character. It was kind of character-driven. We learned some more. Why? Because the pilgrims chasing them, the younger selves, their younger selves, they got to go through time and save their younger selves because she has one chance to kill you in the past.
It's like Terminator logic.
She was a time travel Terminator, which I like that she was like a female Terminator, but like we didn't really get to learn a lot about her. She was just kind of showing up.
If if Ray Palmer was a badass, that fight would have lasted 2 seconds because he would have just shrunk and flew up her nose.
Yeah.
And that's it. Just punched her in the brain.
I love the scene with the Katie Lotz White Canary fighting her. Like, that was a kind of a cool battle.
Yeah, it was cool.
They were well matched.
I like that. Like, at one point, you know, this lady Terminator, what's her name in the show?
The Pilgrim.
She comes down and she, you know, she goes going after them in their youth, and she goes after like a teenage Katie Lotz, yeah. White Canary. And then White Canary busts in front of herself and starts kicking this Pilgrim's ass.
Yeah.
And the whole time you're like wondering when, you know, young Sarah Lance is going to recognize that that's her.
She looks exactly like her, yet she's like, who are you and why do you look like me? But one more, like, speaking of the Terminator, I did love Ray going, come with me if you want to live. Oh, I always wanted to say that.
He's referencing it, obviously.
But this is the problem, because Mick also meets his younger self and kind of gives himself a pep talk. And but isn't this paradoxical? I guess the point is they're going to erase their memories and return them right where they got them so that it doesn't alter the timeline. But this whole universe, like The Flash, the time rule is that time is soft and takes time to set. So I kind of like that now they're racing against their own existence. Like, they have to catch Savage real quick and get their younger selves back before time sets and nobody remembers they were even around.
I don't think
it's like Jell-O. Jesse Looney says time is like Jell-O. He's right.
Time shouldn't set.
It's very convenient, and it works well when you got to write yourself out of a hole. I loved it. What did you think of that last fight scene that was Matrix-y, where they were all attacking at once?
Wait, it doesn't make sense that time sets.
That's what he says, is that time is soft. Time takes time to set. No, but
time's not soft, because time is, let's say, we're alive now, but the world's been around for billions of years. That should have been set already. We can't go back and change it then. So the whole show was pointless.
So you're saying Rip taking them younger selves out of the timeline right there would change stuff, unless you return them at the same point, which they haven't done yet.
Yeah, that's it.
But before they do, it's changing the current time stream continuum, because like they picked up Stein's wife and she didn't recognize him.
Yeah.
Which, so unless they take them right back where they got them, but even if time sets, if they take them back, it should be fine. You're right. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Just think about it. The minute that they yanked them out of there, everything would have been changed.
It should be over because you stopped it.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Time. Jesse Looney says time is like Jell-O. Watch it wiggle. See it jiggle. That's good. I like that. A couple other things I liked about this.
I thought he said time is like J-Lo.
J-Lo. Time is like a J-Lo. From the hood.
Watch it jiggle. Watch it with.
That would apply to J-Lo also.
Absolutely.
I love some of the heartfelt moments, like Jax meeting his father. I thought that was well done. I thought the guy who played Jax handled it. But now, he fucked the time up too. He fucked up the time stream. He told his father about when he dies.
He's like, don't die.
He's like, just keep an eye out at Mogadishu. So this is going to come to bite him in the ass at some point. He can't do that. You can't. But then Rip is like, well, sometimes time wants to happen. Well, which one is it, Rip? Is time soft like Jell-O, or does time just want to happen? What the fuck?
It's convenient bullshit. God, he's like, okay, right now I'm going to say this to get the plot to move.
He's the most incompetent time master ever.
Move the plot writing. Exhibit A.
We get to see Heatwave's origin, sort of, I thought of. Where he accidentally burns his house down with his family inside. That was kind of dark. It got dark. And he's like, I know he didn't. He ran. And Rip gives him a talking to. And young Rip goes, you sound like my father. And I was like, wow, but wouldn't this affect him too? The way he grew up?
Yeah, the minute that they talk, the timeline should have changed.
We learned Rip Hunter's real name is Michael. And I love that last scene where everything was frozen. She had him all frozen, and a little powerless younger version of Rip Hunter just stabs her in the leg with a big smile on his face, like he's so proud. And then they blast her, and she's just like done. It's all powder.
He's like, I was a cut purse.
He was a cut, yeah, a cut purse, which must be like, what is that? That's somebody who cuts for purses?
It's like a purse snatcher.
Little pickpocket. He's a little juvenile delinquent, Rip Hunter was. So we got a lot of character stuff from a couple of people. You got to see Detective Lance with hair from the 90s. This Ray Kendra romance, again, boo.
Lame.
Why you want to get married? You're fucking time travelers? None of this makes sense. His fucking dead fiance is there who's alive from the past. And he's still like, you want to get married? I was like, really? I don't like that part. I don't like that at all.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's such a forced relationship. And you know, they sped through it in 2 years that we didn't see off camera. Yeah. So it's nothing. There's nothing there.
Yeah, Jesse Looney says, I just turn my brain off when I watch that show. And it's entertaining. And sometimes I can't turn my brain off. And I'm like, really? Really?
Jesse, my brain is always off.
His brain never went on. Look, moving forward now, Vandal, there's still the Vandal Savage thing. But now it's like it feels a little bit more urgent because of this whole time knot setting. They got to fight for their existence, return themselves, finish this whole thing. I hope this Savage thing doesn't continue into next season. I hope they just wrap this up. It's enough with the Savage. That's a good one. Carlos says he wants to see Hawkgirl make love with her wings. I'm okay with that.
Geek boner.
I think that could be fun in the air. A little air sex. We never seen that before.
I see birds do it all the time.
Birds having mid-air sex. Yeah. So that's your Legends of Tomorrow, gang. One final show. Let's get to it.
Doc and Nerd.
Bro, do you even podcast?
Spoiler alert.
Okay, this is the show that Rugboy doesn't watch, but I watch, so I don't know what I'm going to do. It's this week's Fear the Walking Dead, the second season of the second episode of the second season titled We All Fall Down, as in Ring Around the Rosie.
Who dies?
Pocket Full of Posies. Well, someone dies, but you meet them on the show, and then they die.
So it's not a main cast member.
Now, remember, this is what happens. They're to escape from the boat that's chasing them. They find this little island. They find a Katrina Island. And the logbook they found says San Diego is gone. It's burnt. So they're going to hide in this island because they think this boat has like a 50 caliber machine gun that's chasing them. Nobody knows. And it's nighttime and there's a house there and a light kind of suddenly goes on. And they go and they meet this family called the Geary's. It's a husband and wife and three kids, an older kid and two little kids, right? So they, Strand and Ophelia and Salazar stay on the boat. The rest of the team goes and says hi. They approach them. They appear to be nice. What's cool about this episode, Ruggs, is you find out a lot about what happened in the country. So there's actual information. Basically, the military has napalmed the whole West Coast. He's like Vancouver, San Francisco, Oregon, the whole West Coast is gone. He's like up to the Continental Divide. I've lost communications. He's saying half the country is gone. Millions and millions of people. So George and Travis kind of bond. They have a beer. We meet this. There's something off about this family because Nick goes to the little kid's room. The little kid has a bunch of action figures set up. Except the action figures all have red dots right in the middle of their forehead. And he's like, hey, what's that? He goes, oh, that's what happens to you now when you get sick. And he's named these action figures like after his relatives. He's like, that's Uncle Bob. That's Aunt Ann. And he's like, now when you get sick, that's what happens. And he goes, but that's not going to happen to me. I have power pills. And it's very creepy. And Nick is just like nervously laughing. He goes, I don't know what that is. And I thought he was talking about, like, vitamins. Like, my dad's telling me to stay healthy, to stay alive. But that's not what's going on. Turns out this dude, George, he's very – look, this island, there's zombies washing up on shore, and there's a couple of hundred zombies over there, but he's locked them out. George is very connected to his land. Nick rummages around. He finds a bunch of pills, and he goes – dude, I think this asshole's going to Jonestown his whole family. George wants them all to die there on their time on their land. But the wife is like, will you take my kids with you? the two little kids. She's like, I have MS. She's dying. Take my little kids. Of course, shit happens. The little girl, Willa, gets into the power pills. She dies, turns into a zombie, bites the mom. And they try to take the kid with them on the boat. And, of course, Strand is like, who the fuck is this kid? Get him off my boat.
Yeah.
But their older brother, Seth, who's a little bit wacky, and he's kind of like the father, he comes, grabs the kid. And as they're leaving, they see their mom is now zombied and walking towards the pier. They see him shoot his own mom, and they leave the kid on this island to keep going wherever the fuck they were going. I don't know where they're going. Oh, in the meantime, Salazar, he's awesome. He picks a lock into the safe where Strand is keeping shit, and he finds a machine gun and maps to Mexico. And while he's doing that, Strand is on the phone. He's like, can you push it back to sundown? I'm on my way. I'll be there. He's talking to someone on the fucking phone, on a cell phone. I thought all the cell phone lines would be down, which that doesn't make any sense. So maybe – I think he's like a drug dealer. Strand and Salazar, those two guys are amazing on the show. When they're together, their scenes are great. I think maybe Strand's like a drug dealer and he's trying to get to Mexico. So they're headed to Mexico with not with the kid.
It sounds interesting, but
stuff happens.
It sounds I can't take two Walking Dead shows. I just can't. Like, Walking Dead stresses me out, and then I finally get past the season. Game of Thrones is coming on. It's going to be direct competition with Fear the Walking Dead, and I'm sorry, but Fear the Walking Dead can't even lick the ass of Game of Thrones.
No, it can't. So I was just glad they were off the boat because I was really afraid they were going to be on the boat for a long time. So, look, I don't know if we're going to talk about this, Ruggs. If you're out, you might be right. Maybe we'll just catch up when the season ends. I don't know.
I don't really think I'm missing it. I don't really feel like I'm missing out on anything.
It's like I think I'm watching just because I love the brand out of obligation. But it's not giving us what this brand should be giving you.
Yeah, I mean, plus we already have a good zombie show.
There was there was walkers in this one, so yeah, I don't know. You're right. What about Preacher though? Will you be on board with Preacher once we see it?
Yes, I will watch Preacher.
All right, Jesse Looney's right. We'll do a season wrap up for Fear the Walking Dead moving forward. I'll try to keep up with it. I don't know. If it gets interesting, it's still really slow and just get to where you're going. It needs a little bit more action, something. I don't know.
Like, I think you can't – I said this already. You can't do the same thing and with lesser characters. Like, you know, you don't have as – Rick and all these guys are so much better.
Yeah.
Like, even right off the bat, even in the first season, they were better. You know what I mean? And so these guys haven't been that great yet.
But they – yeah, that's true. Those characters started with the zombie apocalypse already happening. But it's just frustrating to watch these people actually, you know, get accustomed to and start figuring this out, which they are, but they could have figured it out. I would love more just an adventure show. If this was like an adventure show.
Yeah. There's no one you can really cheer for in this. There's no badass to get behind, really, except for maybe Strand.
Strand and Salazar are my favorite standouts so far. All right, look, I'll keep watching. Like, Anthony stopped watching Supergirl, so, like, we were the only two. I'm the only asshole watching everything that you guys are watching now. So, like, this show me and him were watching, and you didn't watch, whereas Supergirl me and you were watching, and he wasn't watching. Listener, let us know what you think about Fear the Walking Dead. Send us a tweet at Chalk and Nerdcast. All right, let's get to some show news, and we'll wrap it up.
The Chalk and Nerd Podcast.
Thanks for hanging out, everybody. If you're in the blab, we're going to hang out for a little bit. Once we end the main show, we're going to open it up to you guys. Listener Mate says, Fear of the Walking Dead sounds more and more like Stephen King's The Stand every time we talk about it. Yeah, it's not. Like I said last week, it's not nearly as good as The Stand's awesome. I would love to see they did that on TV. Do it again. Make another one.
Yeah.
Look, I want to shout out some of the awesome networks we're on. Like we said, Weeby Geeks. We were recently on one of their shows. We will be on Weeby Geeks episode 166. I'll have a link to the show notes once that show goes out. But check out their network. There's tons of great geek shows, including ours. Thank you to Tangent Bound Network, A Place to Hang Your Cape. And we are now live every Wednesday night, 9 p.m., Geek Life Radio. It's 24/7 Geek Stream Radio. You can find it at geekliferadio.com. There's tons of great shows there. So check all those out. I got to say thank you to our badass blab assistant, Jordan Radford, for working the extra box here with our logo and images. And she's our BABA. And Ruggs, she has left us a great review on the iTunes. Did you know that?
Oh, really?
Yes. Here's what she says. 5 stars. I love these guys. There's so much that I could say about these guys, but bottom line, they are awesome. I stumbled on their blab a while back and was hooked ever since. Imran is so lively and brings a good spirit to the show. Anthony is super witty and knows exactly what to say. And Rugboy is the perfect balance of knowledge and humor.
Geek-erific.
I've always been a little geeky myself, but not so much in comics. And just from being involved with them the last few months or so, I've learned so much about the comic book culture. I'm so glad that I stumbled upon them. Such a great podcast and one that I look forward to every week. Love your guys. Your BABA, Jordy. That is such a great review, Jordan. Thank you so much. And it's great how, look, it's absolutely true. She discovered us here. Blab's helped us get to more listeners, and now she's helping us out. It's like our listeners giving back. We love it when you interact. Help out. Let us know what you think. You guys, we have a lot of cool merch also. Just want to mention, check out jockandnerd.com/shop. You can get yourself a cool coffee mug like this that I'm holding up. Also, I'm wearing one of our shirts on red.
Whoa.
jockandnerd.com/shop. You can put our logo on anything. Hoodies, tank tops. Wait till you see what Anthony bought. It's going to be stupendous. I'm not going to spoil it. You're going to have to wait till next week.
Is it going to be Jock and Nerd undies?
No, but you're close.
Geek-erific.
I don't think we sell those yet. Jock and Nerd jock straps. Oh, that's a good one. I should put that in the pipeline. Check it out, jockandnerd.com/shop. If you want to contact the show, just visit jockandnerd.com/contact. There's lots of ways you can say hi to us. There's a form on that page, our Facebook. We also have a Facebook group. Review the show if you want to help us out, because just like Jordan did there, when somebody's looking for podcasts, just like on Amazon, Ruggs, you shop on Amazon, what do you look at when you look at a product? You look at the user reviews.
That's right.
You want to know what people think. Is this podcast worth my time? And I tell you, if you scroll on down our reviews, like it's so nice to read it. And like you have to want to listen. So, listener, help us spread the word.
Jock and Nerd.
By leaving us an awesome review on iTunes or Stitcher or whatever you're on. But you can go to jockandnerd.com/review. It'll take you right to the iTunes page. Ruggs, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at ReallyRugBoy, where you can have a conversation with me about anything you want, and you'll probably see me tweet stupid random shit throughout the day.
And let us know if you want us to sell RugBoy condoms in our online shop.
If you want them, I'll model them in my own image.
They'll
have a RugBoy face on the head of your penis.
Oh, shit.
They'll be shaped like RugBoy, and who doesn't want that? That's the sexiest thing ever. Guys, thanks for hanging out. Listen, if you like what you hear, just tell everyone you know. Tell every single person you meet. Tell them to go to jockandnerd.com. It's not hard.
Do you podcast? I say that a lot. Do you
Bro, podcast? Do you even podcast?
Do you even podcast, bro? Give them one of those, and then give them one of these.
Jock and Nerd.
Listen, spread the word.
Jock and Nerd.
That we would love it. That's all we ask in return for giving you all of this geekiness.
Did we say everything that we need to say, Imran?
Yes, we did. Thanks for listening.
Did we talk about Patreons?
I will. We have a virtual tip jar. Here's what I'm doing. They will have already heard a Patreon commercial because I cut them in to every show.
Oh.
So, listener in the feed, you will have heard a commercial about Midway for the Patreons, which is our virtual tip jar. You get bonus audio. If you want to support us as little as a dollar a month, just visit jockandnerd.com/Patreon. And there's a nice little page on our website explaining what Patreon is, how you can help out. And thanks to all our patrons. Hope you're enjoying the bonus content. We'll be putting up more weekly, monthly. Check it out. You guys, that's it. That's it for this week's edition of the Jock and Nerd Podcast. Thanks for hanging out. Thank you for spending time for picking this podcast, Ruggs. Don't you appreciate it?
Yeah, guys. I'm so happy you guys tuned in. And you got to get more people to do it, too. So we have more people to talk to, more people to be included on this conversation, like David Zika,
David,
and Jesse Looney, And, you know, and even this guy, Carlos, who was just here.
And Cosmo Fox is here, and Tony Listermaid is here, and you were there, and you were there. It's just like the end of Wizard of Oz. David Zika, by the way, he did join our Facebook group. Good for you, David Zika.
I need to get on Facebook at some point.
We'll figure it out. But for right now, we're going to shut it down and open it up for you blabbers. This has been the Jock and Nerd Podcast. My name is Imran.
And my name is Rugberto Bambino.
He's the rug boy.
And he's the nerd.
And we'll catch you next time.
Woo!
Terrific. Jocktastic.
Who cares? A jock said that.
Rug boy approved.
Jock and nerd. Now it's working. He had to refresh.
All right, you're so cute.
Hey, look, it's a leprechaun.
Really?
Oh,
really,
shit.
You know, I think you're pretty cool. Don't be insulting me.
Well, yeah, so what's up? Well, you tell me I'm cute. I'm an old man. It's great.
Right, well, you know, I've had a few shots of scotch and whiskey, so I'm probably a little drunk right now.
Where are you from, sir, by the way?
I'm from Aberdeen.
Ooh.
Scotland? That's Scotland?
Aye. I was born in Aberdeen, I was raised in Glasgow, and until recently I worked for Her Majesty's Government.
Wow.
Well, what did you do?
I was a special advisor to the Prime Minister.
Whoa, what?
Wow.
In relation to Parliament and Question Time.
So you're like a smart person. Probably.
Kinda, you know.
What?
I've got no hair.
From stress? Is that from all the stress of working for Her Majesty?
Aye.
So what was your role? Like, what did you do day to day in your position?
Well, you could really say I was a spin doctor. It was like a chief of staff. I was a special advisor. I advise you to look up Malcolm Tucker.
Okay.
You'll find what I used to be, so...
So, like, marketing. You worked in marketing for...
Not really.
Not really.
Maybe public relations.
Public PR. Ah, public relations, yes. Wow, that's awesome, dude. That's fascinating.
Really? But looking at you, little rugby, you remind me of a member of parliament I used to know.
Yeah?
Aye.
What was his name?
Dennis Skinner.
Oh.
Good guy he was?
He's Dennis? My grandfather.
Well, he's still alive.
Oh, is he a good guy?
He's still in Parliament. Yeah, he's a really nice guy.
So, okay.
Right. Now, I'm about to go drinking again with this lovely French lady that I met down in the hotel lobby.
Oh, snap.
I'm in New York. Oh. I'm in New York right now.
Oh, cool. Oh, you're in New York.
So am I.
Oh, really? Where are you?
I'm in Queens Manhattan. Right now.
I'm in Manhattan.
Very cool.
Nice.
Right on. New York's great.
Have you been to the States before? Is this like your first trip?
No. When the Prime Minister was here a few years ago, I was with him in Washington.
I bet this whole Parliament story gets him laid a lot. Right?
That's how you pull the French chicks.
You're going to score big with this French chick. I have a feeling.
The accent alone, I'd take my pants off.
Pretty good game you got going.
Well, we'll see.
You just right, have to say, now, I'm very hung.
Yeah.
Well, let's just say, lad, that I've got some Scottish beef from Aberdeen.
And yeah, would you like, hey, Lassie, would you like the Scottish beef injection?
Right. No, I wish I could do accents.
I can't do it.
All right, well, rugby, you know, look at you. You've got your looks. You've got your looks, and that's nothing to be ashamed of.
Yeah, rugby is very good looking.
Rugby, he liked your teeth, you know. You got good teeth there.
I take good care of them. Look how white they are. Look, check them out.
They're very clean. Right.
Nice.
Right, got a yellow right, one in lad. The bunch.
All right, lads, I've got to go.
Dakota, thanks for checking us out. Enjoy your time in New York, man.
Hey, listen, let me just give you some quick advice.
All right.
Two go in the pink, and one goes in the stink.
Oh, right? Shit.
Just remember.
It's good advice.
Bye-bye.
It's called the shocker. We call that the shocker in this country. Bye, Dakota.
Yes, we do.
Dude, a guy from fucking British Parliament? We're talking to a guy that works in goddamn Parliament? What just happened?
Oh, shit.
And he was a fan not of Carlos, not of me, but of the fucking puppet.
Well, I got an award today. Did you see that, Imran?
You what?
I got an award.
From who?
Oh, yeah, what'd you get?
I got an award from Kermit and Friends.
Oh, you wanted a what? I did
another
not know.
Another one. I got best puppet.
Oh, you wait. Was Douche in the running, or he doesn't count as a puppet?
No, he wasn't even in the run. I don't know who was in the running. It was it was on my Twitter feed, and I was gonna talk to David Mobile, but he was not here anymore.
Oh, but, he took off. That's all. Congratulations, Rex.
I think he campaigned to get me on that.
Think he did. That's awesome. They added that category. That is a great
nerd.
Congratulations, Rugboy, for winning best.
I'm very happy that even though I haven't been on the show in like 3 months,
they still remember you.
Yeah.
Still, that was a thing that happened. That was crazy.